There is life left in these guys yet. Boston Celtics win game three, and I'm going to talk about it on a bonus podcast right now. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. After the Boston Celtics beat the Miami Heat 117-106 in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals, this is a bonus podcast, and I am not going to do segments. I'm just going to keep on talking. Since this is a bonus podcast, no commercials, no nothing, no ad reads. You don't have to buy any Built Bars. Well, you can if you want. You can go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. But, you know, you don't have to. I'm just going to keep going through this. Positives, negatives, and a little something extra. This won't be the full half hour, I don't think. But who knows? Once I get talking, you never know how it's going to go. So, bonus podcast, let's kick it off here. Let's run through some of the things in the box score first. 117-106, the big thing that stands out in the box score, 60 points in the paint to Miami's 36. It's a ridiculous number to score 60 points in the paint against the Miami Heat. The Celtics were aggressive, if you want one of the positives. Super aggressive Boston Celtics team for most of this game. Not all of this game, but most of this game. They had a lead as big as 20. And they didn't get many points off the bench because they didn't play a lot of guys off the bench. Their bench was Gordon Hayward, and then a few minutes of Enes Kanter, 9 minutes of Brad Wanamaker, 9 minutes of Grant Williams, and that's it. The Celtics got 43 minutes out of Jaylen Brown, 41 out of Jason Tatum, almost 41 out of Kemba, 36 from Marcus Smart, 30 from Gordon Hayward, and 24 from Daniel Tice. Your leader, your points leader in this game, Jaylen Brown, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, just 2 turnovers, 3 steals, a block. Jaylen was awesome in this game. 11 for 17 shooting from the field. 1 of 2 from 3, 3 of 5 from the line, but aggressive, super, super aggressive from the field, constantly attacking. Great defense, poking the ball away. There was a stretch there in the second half. In the second quarter, at the end of the second quarter, where he and Jason Tatum kind of took turns shutting down a Miami Heat run, which was another thing that the Celtics did well, but getting steals, getting out to transition, dunks from Jason Tatum, dunks from Jaylen Brown getting dunks in the half court, layups, drawing fouls, getting to the line. That was all really, really good stuff from Jaylen Brown. After what happened after game two, where he and Marcus Smart were involved in that post-game locker room thing, to have Jaylen Brown come out and respond like this was just beautiful. I mean, talking about a nearly perfect response, and really about as perfect as you can get in an Eastern Conference playoff game. You know, he's not going to have a perfect game, but this is about as good as you can expect him to play. That I can't say anything but glowing things about Jaylen Brown. Same for Jason Tatum, who had a really good game, 25 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, just a couple shy of a triple-double, just 2 turnovers for him as well. Didn't shoot particularly great, but was aggressive again, defending, distributing, For Jaylen and Jason to combine for 51 points, you're just not going to lose games when those guys are combining for 51 points. But they were also joined by Kemba Walker, who had 21, and Marcus Smart, who had 20. Half of Marcus's points came from the line, 10 of 10 from the free throw line, including four, was it four at the end or six at the end to ice the game. Kemba, a good shooting night, 8 of 16 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 6 rebounds for him, a couple of assists, 4 turnovers, which isn't great, but overall, great performances from the 4 best players, and then Gordon Hayward, who comes in, plays 30 minutes. Afterwards, he said he was gassed, but he made an impact, and you can tell that he was doing exactly what the Celtics needed him to do, which was calm things down. Calm things down. There were two stretches in this game where I thought the Celtics responded really, really well. They had a stretch at the end of the second quarter where Miami made a run, and it was up to the Celtics to kind of stop it and go into the half on a high note. They hadn't been doing that in the past. They had stretches in the past in game two, in the previous series, where their third quarter collapse was preceded by an end of second quarter kind of letdown, where, and I said this in the last game, after the last podcast, that letting a team, when you have a 17-point lead, get it down to 13, that's a boost going into the half. Where the Celtics went on a little bit of a run at the end of the second quarter. And instead of the Celtics going into the quarter on a low note, they went into the quarter on a high note. So it was, let's see, the Miami Heat had cut it to a 10-point game with 58 seconds to go. Kemba hits a three to put the Celtics into the half up 13. But actually, it started earlier than that. Tyler Hero, who was just ridiculous in the first half, made it 51-48. And then we got a run out from Jason Tatum after a Jaylen Brown steal. Then Jason Tatum rebounds a Hero miss and gets it out to Jaylen Brown for a dunk. And then Jaylen Brown gets a steal and a layup. It was just a nice kind of response for the Celtics to go from up 3 with 3:22 to go to up 13 going into the half. And then in the third quarter, the Celtics had another response after Miami made a run and things started to look really bad again. The Celtics put out, after an 11-1 run, they get a big response to get the lead back up to 15. So they had the lead at 18. Miami goes on this huge run. Boston gets it back up to 15. And instead of falling apart like they have in the past, like they did in game two, they only lose 3 points off their lead and really end up adding 2 points to their halftime lead. So they had that halftime lead. They outscore Miami by 2 in the third quarter. So even after that run, it comes out as a positive third quarter, which is just, I mean, everything you could want out of them. Was it perfect? No. In that third quarter, they had stretches where they looked lost. The difference today versus in the past is they got stops. A jumper from Kemba Walker in the middle of the lane. A steal from Gordon Hayward. And a long outlet pass to Jason Tatum, who finishes the dunk and gets fouled. 3-point play. Those things are the things that I've been talking about a million times on this show. The clutch shots, the clutch moments that come earlier in games. The clutch moment of third quarter when things are going to crap and they get a stop. That jumper from Kemba was huge. That steal from Hayward and the run out from Tatum, huge. Those are clutch plays because that keeps Miami at bay. I don't know what else to tell you besides those are clutch plays. The Celtics in game three here to start the third quarter. Sean Grandy had this tweet. Kind of supports what I'm talking about. End of second quarter, start of third quarter. Game two, Miami was on a 29-11 run. Game three, Boston had a 25-10 run. It's all wrapped up right there. The Celtics, I think, had the perfect response to Miami's first two games. I think they showed that there's life in them. I think they showed that Gordon Hayward is going to be a huge stabilizing force. Just a guy that can make plays. Some of the passes that he sees just helps. Just helps. And no offense to Brad Wanamaker, no offense to Semi Ojeleye, but Gordon Hayward's better than those guys. Semi didn't play in this game. Wanamaker only played 9 minutes. Hayward took all of Semi's minutes and half of Brad's minutes. Like that's what he's supposed to do. And with 3 days off, you could play these guys a little extra time. This is big. Now, what does that mean for game four? I don't know. Because on the negative side, the Celtics still relaxed at the end of the game. So they're still going to be prone to runs. They're still going to give up runs. We haven't seen a complete game from these guys yet. They're still out there making mistakes. And not just mistakes. Like earlier in the game, in the first half, I thought the Celtics played a really good first half. And Miami made runs, but Miami made runs because they're good. Miami made runs because Tyler Hero got insanely hot and just couldn't be stopped. I mean, he was hitting shots. I mean, sure, you're going to play better. You're going to play him with a little bit more force. But he's still, like, at some point, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Tyler Hero? Like, he's an insane shooter, and he's going to go off sometimes. So he went off, and the Celtics responded. It wasn't like the end of the fourth quarter where they just kind of let up and Miami made a run. You're sitting there. It's like, oh, it's a 20-point game. As soon as it got to 20, the Celtics were like, got it. Okay, we can just kind of kick back and relax. It was 100-80 with 7:13 left. Then it slowly starts to dwindle, and it gets to, oh, it's a 15-point game. It's not a big deal. It's a 12-point game. Uh-oh. It's a 10-point game with 3:27 left. Uh-oh. But, again, the Celtics did make enough plays. Kemba hitting that three off a pass from Gordon Hayward. Marcus Smart hitting a floater. Marcus Smart drawing a foul. A foul that he was criticized for taking, but he was able to draw the foul. And even after the Celtics had what could have been a very damaging flagrant foul on Jaylen Brown, the Celtics escaped. And I was wrong earlier when I talked about Marcus Smart's free throws. In the last 46 seconds, he had 8 free throws. So it wasn't 6. He hit 8 points in the last 46 seconds, all from the free throw line. So the Celtics responded. But they still let up. And it got very uncomfortably close. The Celtics still don't have an answer for Bam Adebayo. And you could see that throughout the game. And the Celtics, I think, got a little bit lucky in this game because Miami did not shoot well from three. And I'm not going to sit here and say that 12 of 44 from three for Miami was all the result of good Celtics defense. That is not true. The Celtics, sure, their defense is responsible for some of those misses, but I'll tell you, I got to go back and look. Not all of those misses, that's for damn sure. The Celtics definitely got lucky. In fact, there were a couple of missed threes down the stretch here where Miami had, I think it was after the flagrant foul, Miami had a couple of chances to hit threes that would have made it a single-digit game or like a three-point game, and they missed. And they missed badly. So let's not sit here and also, as far as celebrating that the Celtics won this game, we're not going to sit here and be like, oh, man, they really played a complete game and stuck it to the Heat, and this was a huge win and such a great win. And yes, it was a big win. It was a big win. And they played great for most of the game. The parts of the game where they didn't play great, they escaped. They really did escape. There are a couple of really open threes that I thought were certainly going in, and they didn't. And the Celtics capitalized, and Miami's not going to hit all of their threes all of the time. You know, it's not like they are the Warriors, but there's some good shooters who missed open looks. We just got to understand that. I don't know what the Celtics are going to do about Adebayo. I don't know if Grant Williams is the answer, because he does foul, and as part of that fourth quarter, because Daniel Tice made a weird decision to stop a fast break with a foul. He immediately got pulled. But when Grant came in, he was fouling, and I don't know that the Celtics are going to want to go with that, because he has a tendency to foul, and he's a rookie. He's going to get those calls against him. I don't think the Celtics really want to have him on the floor all that much in those situations. The Celtics' best five lineup was out there, and it worked, which is surprising because in the seeding game, it got crushed. But in this game, it was just amazing. Like, it did exactly what we thought in the beginning of the season. Like, when we were envisioning what the best five lineup would be, that's what it was. They put out a performance. Like, they played Adebayo off the floor. It was wild because he ate that lineup up. Maybe because it was a seeding game, and Brad Stevens had said earlier in the week that was kind of a wake up call, that seeding game. So maybe that was a function just of the Celtics weren't playing the right way. Who would think that they wouldn't play the right way? But they put that lineup out there, and it rocked. They played really, really well. It's going to be interesting to see if they do that again and how Miami attacks that, because having seen it again and having seen what worked against them with that, I think Miami has a counter. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe it'll be going big and putting Olynyk out there with Adebayo and just going with a little bit more length over it. But that worked really well. But just to wrap up that other point, I think we can expect Miami to shoot a little bit better from three the next time. So the Celtics really have to be better. They won this game. They earned this win, but they almost pissed it away, and they did get lucky. Last thing I want to say, just kind of expanding on a piece that I wrote on masslive.com, the Celtics against the zone. I don't think the Miami zone, and we saw some of that. I've got to rewatch to just double check and make sure that this is all completely accurate, but the Celtics, I don't think ever really had a huge problem with the zone. I broke it down on masslive.com. I don't think the zone is the issue. I think the Celtics effort is the issue. I think in game three, they played it with a lot more effort. They attacked it, and not only just attack, pass, attack again, attack it from different angles. I thought they did a good job with that in game three, and that's how you're supposed to attack the zone. I don't think the story coming out of game two that, oh my God, this zone is really killing the Celtics. They need to figure out how to attack that zone. I don't think that's true at all. And I think that this game kind of proved it. I definitely feel like I proved it in that piece on Mass Live. I don't think they were playing very well against the zone in game two, and they still got places where they wanted to be. They still got good looks. They definitely got better looks. Hayward definitely helps against the zone. And I think we saw some of that in game three where Hayward got into the middle. A lot more attacking from the middle of the zone. I think the Celtics do a better job, and scoring from that position, having those mid-range jumpers. I've said it before, the mid-range jumpers are going to be huge, and they were, and a couple of mid-range jumpers really helped stem the tide in this game. That's going to be it for this podcast. I wanted to give you a little something. I'll be back with a regular Monday podcast after rewatching the game and getting a better look at what the Celtics did right and wrong, and we'll get a better sense for everything. And look, there are 3 days off between the Celtics' next game. So they're not playing again till Wednesday night. So we'll have a lot of time to talk and break things down and analyze it, see if we can get somebody on from the Miami perspective again, and maybe another guest or so. So hopefully you enjoyed this kind of makeshift bonus podcast. If you're a first-time listener, I don't usually do this on a Sunday, but, you know, it's a special occasion. Normally, it's a Monday through Friday podcast. So it is daily, Monday through Friday. So subscribe, you'll get this right to your device. Wherever podcasts exist, we exist. And you can also follow on Spotify. Regular listeners, 5-star rating, a good written review would be amazing. And share the podcast. Tell everybody they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.